Okay, I'd like to dedicate this morning's learning as a zechus refuah for Micha Chaim ben Sara. He was in a very serious car accident on Thursday night outside of, I think he was leaving Shul, Bnei Shurin, and Tinek, and he was hit by a car, so he's in critical condition, so the zechus of our learning should serve as a refuah shlema. What's that? I don't know, I from Frisch, they sent out an email to please say Tehillim. For him, I don't know the status of the. There was another name also, I believe.
Shelley turned into something else.
Yeah. All right. So we'll try to send it out. We can daven for them. Maybe we'll say Tehillim this afternoon between Mincha Maariv. Okay. So the sugya for today is dreams. We spoke a little bit on Shabbos, some of the halachic aspects of fasting, different dreams in the Shabbos before Chim Chabura, and then the learning after Shacharis as well. But the opening this week's parsha. So Paro has dreams, right? In last week's parsha, in Vayeshev, right? Vayachalom Yosef Chalom Yagi Leecha Yosifu Oitzno. So he told them the dream, and they hated him. Vayomer Aleihem Shimuna Hachalom Hazeh Asher Chalamti. So I want you to hear the dream. So Friday night we pointed out from the Beis Halevi that there were two different reactions in the first dream. Where Yosef was telling them, basically, you're all going to be bowing down to me. So the reaction was one of sinna. And in the second dream that he had, where the content of the dream was the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowing down to him, so the reaction was kinna. They were jealous. So they asked the Beit HaLevi, why the different reaction? One's hatred and one's jealousy. So the Beit HaLevi said that, well, what's the first dream about that you're going to bow down to me? Agriculture basically means I'm going to be rich and you're not, and you're going to need my financial support. So to share a content of that with you, that's just obnoxious. Right? But really, there's no change in the etzem. There's no, we said this over, there's no difference between a poor person and a rich person. It's just one has money, one doesn't have money. But inherently, intrinsically, the mahus, the essence of a person is so different. But the other dream was ruchnius. This is the Beis HaLevi. The ruchnius, that already, kina sofrim, you know, to be jealous of somebody because they're more Ruchni, they're more spiritual, they're bigger Talmud Chacham, they do more chesed, they daven better. That elicits kinna. But really, dreams are a theme throughout Sefer Bereishis. You have with Yaakov, that you have the dream with Yaakov Avinu. So a lot of everyone's dreaming. Yaakov's dreaming, Yosef's dreaming, Paro's dreaming. So let's try to work out what's the inyan of dreams. So a question to ask. If Yosef knows that his brothers hate him, he's got the Kesonas Possum. He knows that they don't like him. Why in the world would you share your dreams with him?
So if you feel it's Nevuah, you have an obligation.
If you feel it's Nevuah, you have an obligation. Correct. Pay tes in Sanhedrin, I think. The Mishnah says that a Navi who is Kovish, he conquers, who holds back, withholds the Nevuah that he has, is Chayv Misa. So you see that Yosef obviously felt he didn't have a choice. He had to give it. It wasn't just like, you know, I'm going to stick it to you. I'm going to tell you another dream I had. If this is, which he believed was Nevuah, so you have to convey the Nevuah to his brothers. So that's one aspect of it. And we'll see that in some sources, we'll put a very strong emphasis to that. A riot to this Nevuah is the second source on the sheet. It's the Gemara in Brachas and Nun Zayin Amen Beis. So here we have a concept of Shishim. So where? Yeah, sure.
When he self-appointed himself as a
Navi,
is that allowed?
He didn't appoint himself as a Navi. He felt that the dreams that he has were Nevuah. He didn't make him, I hereby declare myself to be a Navi, but...
Why wouldn't he check with Yaakov, first, his father?
Maybe Yaakov didn't get that Nevuah.
No, I'm saying, why wouldn't he check with his father if it's really a Nevuah to disseminate? Wouldn't he need some sort of permission rather than just...
I don't think so. I think the opposite. He can't... What would if Yaakov would say, don't say it over? If you believe it really is a Nevuah, you have to give it over. Yeah. So in Halacha, where do we find the concept of Shishim?
Batel
b'Shishim, right? That's what I'm saying. You have a what's the classic case? You have a soup pot of milk and cream. You have a cream of mushroom soup. Delicious. Cream of mushroom soup. Chalav Yisrael. Delicious. And then a meatball falls in. So now, you have to find out what's the din. If it's more than 60 times the amount of soup is against that one meatball, so then we'll say there's 60 against it, so batel b'shishim. That one meatball that falls in becomes nullified. It has no significance. It's because it's as if it's not even there. You can't do this on purpose. You can't just drop meatballs in. But if it fell in accidentally, okay. Up until that, above 1 to 60, fine. Within 1 to 60, we have a concept called ta'am ki'ikr. That since the taste of it is there, it's as if it's present, and therefore it becomes problematic. It's like basar v'chalav. So that transition point between where something is there and where something isn't there is the ratio of 1 to 60. Right? That's our number we're looking to. Where something is in existence versus where something ceases to exist as a separate entity. With that understanding, we come to the Gemara in Brachos Nun Zayin Amud Beis. Says Chamisha Echad Mishishim. There are five things that have this 1 to 60 ratio, 1/60. Elohein Eish Davash Shabbos Shena V'Chalom. Eish, fire. What's fire? 60th Echad Mishishim LeGehinnom. So it's a little bit like what Gehinnom is going to be. You know, Gehinnom is Rav Itamar Schwartz in the Bilvavi Sefer talks about Gehinnom. The Gehinnom is there as a benefit for us. That we should be thinking, who controls Gehinnom? Who causes Gehinnom to happen? Why has Hashem set up a thing called Gehinnom? Hashem puts a concept of Gehinnom in the world so we should be afraid of doing anything that's going to actually separate ourselves from Hashem. The whole reason we're in this world is to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, sometimes we need a deterrent to do anything that would harm ourselves. If we're going to do an Avera, that's going to separate us from Hashem. So we need Gehinnom in the world in order to connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tavash, honey, is Echa Mishishim Lamon. That's a little bit like what the Mon tasted like. Shabbos is Echa Mishishim L'Olam Haba, right? We know from the Zemiros, Me'ein Olam Haba. That's Shabbos. Shein asleep is Echa Mishishim L'Misa. It's 1/60th of death. And here, Chalom, a dream, Echa Mishishim L'Nevuah. So now you have another source. You have with Yosef not wanting to, not being able to, not willing to hold back his dreams. And you have here, the Gemara says in Brachos, that it's Echa Mishishim L'Nevuah. Okay, so that's one extreme. As we go through, we'll see which source would seem to support that kind of understanding as the nature of dreams. On the other hand, now we go the opposite direction. Different Gemara. These are from the Gemara in the ninth parak of Brachos HaRoeh. Nun he amid beis amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni amar Rav Yochanan ein marin lo la'adam elamehi huri libo. All you see in a dream is what you think about during the day, and that's it. Nothing significant to it. If you think about an elephant, you'll dream about an elephant. If you think about Rogalach, you will dream about Rogalach. If you think about Torah, you'll see Torah. But there's no nevuah to it. So that's the brothers tying it back to Yosef. This isn't a nevuah. You're dreaming all day long of ruling over us. You're dreaming you want to be the leader. So that's why you had a dream. This isn't nevuah. This is just this is you being shown what you're thinking about all day long, about being a ruler over there. Okay, so that's the opposite extreme, right? On the one hand, now it's very, we have a nevuah approach to it, and on the other hand, we have a hiruilibo. Yeah.
If it's only
60th
of nevuah, does it really qualify that you have to tell it over? I mean, it doesn't have to be maybe 31 out of 60?
Rove? It'd be Rove. I would answer you, perhaps, the Rambam writes in the 8th parak of Yesodi HaTorah, the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah and other Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to get a Nevuah while he was awake, and Shar Nevi'im could only get a Nevuah while they were sleeping. So, he was sleeping. So it wasn't Echa Mishishim, meaning sleep in general is part of Nevuah. Okay. But Yosef felt he, while he was sleeping, he got a real nevuah. It wasn't just like it was partial, because that's the way it comes to every other Navi except for Moshe. So Gemara Nedarim now. Omer of Yosef, Niduhu Bechalom. If a person was excommunicated in a, he's put a nidui in a dream. So now when he wakes up, Tzarech Hasar B'nei Adam, Lahatilo. He needs now 10 people. We put a very big significance to what he dreamt about, and now he needs, when he wakes up, he has to get 10 people to take him out. What if both happened? He was banned, excommunicated, and taken out in the dream. Now what do you do? Meaning, did as much credence as I put to the dream that put me in the chayim, does that work as well to get me out of it? So, Omele, Kishem, Shev Shalavar, below Tevin. just like you can't have any grain without straw, kach e'efshar l'chalim below devarim b'teilim. There's no dream without anything meaningless to this. So why do we take it so seriously then? So if you look in the Ran, next top of the next page.
So what is he saying? He's saying that it was just a nonsense.
Yeah.
That both counsel allowed. There is no
right. But on the other hand, if it's just
the
why do we take it so seriously if he was just put into cherem? So the Ran says the fisha efshar shebeshlichus amakom. This is not it. Maybe this was come. This is a shlich. This is Hashem sending him a message. Lefikach, therefore, tzarech asara lahatira sheshchina imahim. So you need to get 10. We know, you know, when you have 10 people together, so the shechina is there. It's pretty good. You're in an elevator with 10 Jews. The shechina comes into the elevator. Yeshua, 10 Jews. By Amalav Amalka, you had a Fabrengen last night with Ibron. You have the shechina is there. You have this idea. So therefore, that's why you get 10 people together, because the shechina put him into here, and the shechina will come. You get the shechina back together and take him out. So we'll come back to this Gemara in a little bit, but just keep in mind that we do take the dream. It's a suffix, and yet nevertheless we take this pretty seriously. There is an interesting Gemara over here in Horios. It's a long Gemara, so we won't be able to read the whole thing inside. But basically, the Gemara has a story over here with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Meir Reb Nosson. So when they used to walk in the Beis Medrash, everybody would stand up for them. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would stand up for, and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson, they would all stand up. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you have to understand, this is not a question of gaiva or of ego, but he was the Nasi. So he felt it's improper that they're not giving cover to the position of the Nasi. If you stand up for the Nasi, you stand for everybody, for other people as well. It's like taking away from that. You know, in elementary school, they tell the kids, stand up when the Rebbe walks in the room. It's okay, they walk in. Great, so if you stand up for the Rebbe, that's a kavod. But if you stand up for the Rebbe, and you also stand up for when the janitor walks in the room also, so you stand up for the English teachers, that's, again, not disrespecting, but it's taking away. When you stand up for everybody, it's like you're not really standing up at all. So that's what's going on over here. He says it doesn't make sense. So he made a rule they shouldn't stand up for the others. So then, Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Meir were not there that day. And then when they walked in, no one stood up for them. So they found out what happened. They got upset. So they decided they're going to do something to slug them up. They're gonna ask a very difficult questions from the Mishnayos in Uktzin. Right? So there are 63 Mishnayos. 63 different Siddurim of the Mishnayos. Uktzin, I think, is the last one. So I mean, it's in Taharos. It's, you know, complicated stuff over there. So they're going to ask him a question that he's not going to be prepared for it. So they want to embarrass him, you know. So what happened was that Yaakov Arkarsh heard this, and he said, the Nasi could be embarrassed if this happens. So he goes outside of Rav Shimon Gamliel's house, and he starts learning Mishnayos Uktin out loud. So Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel hears this, and it was, what's going on? And so he himself, something's happening. So he himself starts learning the Mishnayos Uktin, he's preparing it, right? And the next day, when he walks into Beis Medrash, they start asking him questions in Uktzin. So he was prepared, but he realized with it. I'm going to read the English just a little bit. After he finished and said to them, had I not familiarized myself with it, you would have disgraced me. He gave the order and they were removed from yeshiva. Thereupon they wrote down scholastic difficulties on slips of paper and threw into the yeshiva. That which he solved was disposed of, and that which he not solved was wrote down the answers and threw them in. Said Rabbi Yossi, the Torah is without and we're within. Said Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, shall we readmit them, but impose upon the penalty that no traditional statement will be reported in their names? As a result, Remer was designated as others, Acherim, and Rabbi Nosson became the Yesh Omrim. So that's where when he's got, right? Asikul Rabbi Meir Acherim, Rabbi Nosson, Yesh Omrim. That's what we see in the Gemara, that's really who it is. It's Rabbi Meir and it's Rabbi Nosson. So you look at the last part where it's underlined in the Gemara. They saw in a dream they should go be mafayis, they should go appease him. I think the English word appease comes from be mafayis, pesamach, appease. Yeah, lots of Hebrew words, lots of English words come from Hebrew. So I think that's the source for it. Rabbi Nosson ozel. Rabbi Nosson went, Remer lo ozel. Remer didn't go. The dream tells you go make peace with the, go apologize with Shimon Gamliel, you did. Omer, he said, and this is the key line, divrei chalomos lo malin velo maridin. dreams don't have any significance. They don't bring up, they don't bring down. There's no significance whatsoever to them. Lo malin velo meridin. They don't up or down, nothing to it. So he didn't go. He had a dream. He had this whole thing. So you see, even in this, you have Rabbi Nosson did follow the dream, and Rabbi Meir didn't. So again, a machloikis within the Tanaim already is to as to how much significance one places to dreams. Okay, so then this we got into a little bit. You know, I'll tell you, there's a joke, but it's these two yeshiva bachrim, it's Benis Mandim, and they want to go play tennis. So they get their tennis rackets out. They're all ready to go. They go, and then they get to the tennis courts, and the sign says, tennis courts closed, no playing allowed. So one guy turns around. It's okay. Can't do it. So he looks and says, what are you doing? I read the sign. Tennis courts closed, no playing allowed. He says, didn't you learn anything in yeshiva? That's not how you read the sign. What do you mean? He says, here's how you read the sign. Tennis courts closed? No, playing allowed. how you where you put the punctuation, the emphasis, and how you read the so you have the same concept over here. In the Gemara tells again, these are all sugyas in the ninth parak of Brachas. Shmuel ki havi chazi chalma bisha. When Shmuel would have a bad dream, Amr, he would say a puzzle. Chalom shavet yidabru. Dreams speak falsely, meaning he would read it as a statement. If you had a bad dream, I don't pay attention. This is a bad dream. Yeah, something bad that we talk about on Shabbos. Bad dreams. My teeth fell out. There was it was Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, or the walls of the house. Dreams speak falsely. However, ki havi chazi chama tava, when he had a good dream, Amr, he would repunctuate the exact same pasuk. V'chi chalam was a shavi dabra. What? Do dreams speak falsely? No, of course not. Dreams are gavaldik. Dreams are excellent. So the good dreams, it was a rhetorical question. And by the bad dreams, it was a statement, right? Tennis courts closed, no playing allowed. It's a statement, or a question mark. So he says, "No, I but the pasuk says, I'll speak to him in a dream." We had this in yesterday's Daf Shavua, right? In Chagiga and Daf Hey, we quote this. "Bechalom, I'll speak to him in a dream." So Rabbi Rami Ksiv Bechalom Adaber Bo. One pasuk says that I will speak to him in a dream because of Chalom's job and Daber. Another pasuk says that dreams speak falsely. So which is it? Is Hashem speaking? This is by Behaloscha. This is when Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is contrasted to Aaron and contrasted to Miriam. That Moshe is the Spitz Nevuah. He's the head Navi. He's the head Navi. God speaks to him. So what is it? Do dreams, is it God speaking or is that? So what is Lokasha? It's not a contradiction. Kan al yidei malach, kan al yidei shade. Some dreams come through angels. Those are the real ones. And other false dreams come through shade, through a demon. So you see that sometimes dreams could be, now how do you know which is which? I don't know. That's beyond my pay grade. I don't know. You have to Google it to find some real answers to that question like that.
Oh, the good ones versus the bad ones.
The good ones are the bad ones. Right, there you go. Baruch atot anachalam shah kol nigro. So, in halacha, we find a fascinating question about using dreams to answer halachic shailas. And there's actually many cases where the Rishonim and Achronim had changed Sakhan of the gay based upon dreams that they had. So the source of this, you've seen Shmuel Alpha here, Per Chafches Pasuk Vav. Vayishal Shaul Bahashem. So Hashem asked a question of Shaul asked a question of Hashem. Lo Anahu Hashem. Hashem didn't answer him. Now look, he didn't answer him. Gam Bechalomos, Gam Urim, Vegam Benevim. He didn't answer him through a dream, he didn't answer him through Urim Tumim, he didn't answer him through a Navi. So what do you see from this fact though?
That it could be.
It could have been answered. He could have answered through a Navi. He could have answered through a Urim. He could have answered through a Chalom. You could get an answer to your Shaila through that. And in Menachos over here, Samach Zion, Omer Rava, Yehi Rava, may it be Hashem's will, that is Chazie Bechalmia, Bechil Mea. Hashem should show me the answer to my dream. So they would daven for this. We have, there's an amazing sefer called Shailas and Shuvas Min HaShemayim. One of the times the Bali Tosfos, he would write answers. He'd write questions. Put the question under his pillow, and in the morning he'd have an answer. This is amazing. Like you see in the Rishon, he talks about significance of Hebrew dates. He talks about Yud Tes Kislev over there in the Sefer. One of the major machlokes we have: what's the correct order of Tefillin? Is Rashi correct or is the Rebbeinu Tam correct? So he asks this question in Shemayim. So it's the answer is something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing it, something like, just like it's a machloikis in this world, it's a machloikis in Shemayim also. You want to know like who Hashem Paskin's like, right? What's the correct order of the, there's different ways of, the four parshios and the tefillin. The question is, what order should they be placed in? In the Rashi has, which is what we follow. The halachas we follow Rashi, we make a brach on the tefillin of Rashi. But some are strict and want to be accommodate the opinion of the Rebbeinu Tam as well. In Shulchan Aruch, in Lamed Dalet, so it says a person who's mefursim b'chassidus, a person who has an amazing reputation of being a very pious, amazing chassid, so they could be makpid and they could also follow the opinion of the Rebbeinu Tam as well. But he asks questions and answers from them. So you see there are certain things where they get answers. You know, let me skip it 1 minute and I'll come back to this. There's a Chasam Sofer in here. I'm gonna go a little bit. Question?
What is
the Torah not in Shemayim? Right. So how does that work? We assume that it's not there. So I'll tell you the answer I heard from Rabbi Rosner on that question. Rabbi Rosner, it was one of his Daf Yomi Shirim I was listening to. He said, I wish I remember what Daf it was on, but he said the following idea. It's not pshat that the dream changed their psak. What the dream did was it caused them to go back and rethink and go relearn the entire sugya. And once they relearned the entire sugya, they came to a different halachic conclusion. Right? Meaning, the incorrect way of learning up the mice is just, okay, I paskin that this was mutter, I had a dream, okay, now it's osir. I paskin this was tahor, I had a dream, no, now it's tame. I paskin guilty, no, I had a dream, now he's innocent. No. They had a dream, so okay, well, why am I having a dream about this topic? So they would go back and relearn the sugya and then come to, after relearning the sugya, but not just like you know, you flip a coin, heads or tails, mutter or aser, no. So, I'll give you an example of this. The Chasam Sofer quotes a case. If you look at number 12 for a second, I'm going to come back, but I just reminded me of it, so keep the flow going for a second. Umipneze, for this reason, kishehit Rabbeinu Ephraim barbuta, bismano. The barbuta was a type of fish, and the Rebbeinu Ephraim allowed people to eat this type of fish. There was a question as to if it was kosher or not. Cholum lo, they showed a dream to him. Shehechil shrotzim. In his dream, he was eating insects, bugs. Right? Not good, right? Joey says not good, correct, right? Afal gad besof nizgalish shabarbuta tohor. Right? Even though the end it came out, the barbuta really was tohor mikomakom chotur b'frayim b'zeh. Okay, so he writes this whole idea about having dreams. And you know, we have from the Moni HaMitzvos that they were counting. They missed the 613 mitzvos. They counted the wrong ones. Whatever it is, you have sources like this. So it's not a strange. It's not a foreign concept. It might be strange to say that we don't have these types of dreams, but it's not a foreign concept to see that the tzaddikim were having, you know, dreams and the things came to them in the dream. So, well, let me show you a Gemara over here. This is going to come back to something we started with earlier about the Gemara in Nedarim. Here you have a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Lamed Amud Aleph. The one says like this. Hare, Shahai mitztair al ma'os shenich lo aviv. A person was upset, distressed because his father left him money and he had no idea where it was. There was no will. There was no treasure map buried under the pillow as to how to find his money. Uva bal hachalom va'omlo. So the master of dreams, the bal hachalom comes. I guess that's somebody, that's their title in Shemayim. The master of dreams comes and says to him, kach mekachin, right? Here's exactly how much it is. He tells him exactly the denominations. It's this many hundreds, this many fifties, this many twenties. B'malkam plonihain, I'll tell you exactly where it's located. Go to your father's desk drawer on the right-hand side, the third drawer from the bottom, and you'll find the money there. Shel meiser shenihain. But I got one problem. It's meiser sheni. This is not money you can keep. This money was for meiser sheni. You can't have. That's the money. That's the denomination. That's exactly what it is. And it's meiser. Zehaya meiser. It happened. The guy didn't know where his money was. Came to him in a dream. They told him where it was in a dream, exactly where it was, and it's Meiser. V'Omer said, "No, divrei chalomos lo malim v'lo maridin." The same thing we saw back in the Gemara in that was the sheet of Rabbi Meir, based upon our Gemara over here in where in Horios. We don't pass him a dream. You had no idea where the money. The only way you knew where the money was because it came to you in a dream, and it tells you in the dream, it shows the location, the denomination, everything. It's Meiser. I split it. Like, Pagin and Demura, we only take half it. I take the half that tells me where the money is. I don't think the half that tells me that it's Meiser. So the Achrona, I'm sorry, the Rishonim. The Rishonim ask Akasha on this Gemara, based on the Gemara we started off with in Nedarim. When the guy had a dream that he was put into Nidui, so he needed a minion to take him out. So it was a suffix. Here, in our Sanhedrin Gemara, he also had a suffix. Maybe it's a, but here we were lenient. We didn't do that. I think Rav Asher Weiss has a piece where he brings an answer to this question. But do you hear? Let me repeat. Do you understand the question? The stira.
We had both in and out.
In the first case, where he's put into.
Because here it's also in and out or out and in, depending. Because you had the positive and the negative in the case where he said they canceled out. Here we have the positive and the negative. So theoretically, we'd be saying
in the first case, you're asking from the second case. Go back to the first case for a second.
Yeah.
Just the case where he's put into cheirim. And
even in the second case,
yeah,
he didn't cancel it out. He canceled out the part that would have let him go scot-free without getting a heather. So in both cases, he still needed a
heather. What's the word we're looking for over here? Suffolk. There's at least a suffolk. So we had a suffolk in the Nedarim Gemara, so we required a minion to take him out. And we had a suffolk over here in Sanhedrin. It's fine, no problem. Right? So which is it? Let me repeat the question. In Nedarim, the guy had a dream that he was excommunicated. So it's a suffix. Do I take this seriously or not? So in that suffix, we were strict, and we required a minion to take him out of that. So in Nedarim, when we had a suffix, we were strict. Here in Sanhedrin, when we had a suffix, what's the status of this money? We were lenient, and we allowed him to use the money and not assume that it had the status of Maisa Sheni. So I think it's the Tashbates who answers. Not every single type of suffix is taken the same way. If you have a suffix in Isser, was I excommunicated? So on a suffix of Isser, you have to be Machmir. We go Lechumra, we're strict on that. But if a suffix in Mamon, if you have a suffix on Mamon, we can be lenient. Meaning, what did the dream really do? This is the word. The dream generated a suffix. So now I pull out my Rolodex and I go through, well, what are the rules of a suffix? In case A, which is a suffix of Isav Heter, for Yisurim, you have to be Machmir. If my suffix is a case of Dini Mamanos, so suffix in Dini Mamanos, I could be Mekil. So that's how he ran it. But we see the dreams enough to generate a halachic doubt. Where now, again, he can rule this rule. You can go back to our, Diri Chalomos Lomal and Vlomaridin, but at the end of the day, it at least makes a doubt.
Well, that's what we do on Tavis Chalom, I guess.
Oh, we're going to get to that right now. Good. Oh, okay. Perfect segue. Where are we up to now? Is that the last page? Yes. Okay. It's a suffix on the Mammon. It's a suffix is what the status of this Mammon is. You could, yeah, my sin is Doraisa, but it's a suffix in Dine Mammonos, whether or not this money is mine or not. So on that, we could go Hamotz Mechaver, you'd have to have somebody come and prove that it really belongs not to you. That's a good question.
Because stealing is also derived, right? But in the cases, certain cases where you can't take the money back. Right?
Mm-hmm. I think we quoted this Gemara, I'm trying to remember when I said it. Oh, but I think by the Shabbos Mevorchim Chabura, we quoted this. So Ribana Esrim v'arboa poisrei cholamus hay b'Yerushalayim. There were 24 different dream interpreters in Yerushalayim. Pam aches chalamti chalom v'halachti eitzel kulam. So one time I had a dream and I went to every single one of them. I went to all 24 dream interpreters. Omash apostle lizeh, lo apostle lizeh. And the way one person interpreted, the other one gave a different interpretation. So I got my dream, I went to 24 different people, and I got 24 different interpretations of the dream. V'chulam niskaimu bi. And they all came true. Lekai mashenema. That's what it means when we say kol hachalomos holkim acher hapeh. Dreams follow after the way you interpret them. So that's what Dan was saying. That you have a concept called hatavas chalom. If a person has a dream and it bothers them, we do a dream interpretation. We say tavach chazi. It was a good dream. That will change it. If a person has a dream and like it's a bad dream or something like that, and then they it doesn't bother them. They just shrug it off, doesn't bother them. So then you don't need to do this. But if a person really has a bad dream and it bothers them, so then that's the eitzah that we do this. We have this. We spoke about a little bit on Shabbos morning about how we don't know. The Chazon Ish writes that we don't know what good dreams are and bad dreams are, because you know nowadays it's all hiruri libo. Just a person's thing. Guy's nervous. Person's nervous. A woman's like has anxiety. Something she's dreaming about. Something that doesn't mean that's really a bad thing. It just means that's what they're thinking about. Even in Shulchan Aruch, we saw a person that their jaw became dislodged. That was yesterday, right? We were talking about a person has a dream where their jaw became dislodged. So that you think, oh my goodness, my jaw fell out. No, that's a good thing, because that means the people who were plotting against you, speaking against you, their plans were frustrated. So we don't know what's a good dream, what's a bad dream. So we were speaking in the context of the tainus cholam they could have. Let's go to, in source 13 here, you have it. This is not what we did yesterday, but this is a different sugya, different place in Shulchan Aruch what discusses it. We were doing, like, I think, Reish Pei Ches. But in Reish Chaf, it says, Haro cholam v'nasha agumos. Aguma alav. You had a dream and you're upset by it. Yetuba ape tlos rachme. You find three people, sha'ohuvimoso, right? Three good friends. Velema apai, they say, chalmata v'chazoi, right? You say, I saw a good dream. So that's the idea of kol ha'chalmos holchen achar hapeh. Dreams go after you. So you say, I saw a good dream. Velema inu, and then they respond, tavahu v'tava leheve. It was good, it's going to be good, meaning they were through it just three times. There's a whole thing, and then that's it. Then you have a thing.
Is there like a Beis Din or something?
Yeah, it's like a Beis Din. They're interpreting the dream for you to say it's a good thing. In Sif Beis, Yafet Tainis Levata Cholam Ra. It's good to fast. Ke'esh L'Noras. It burns it up. So we were talking. Here, the Ramah brings. V'daf Gebo B'yom. On that day, Afilu B'Shabbos, you can do it on Shabbos. We said, Ayin L'Kam and Simon Reish Peches. Yeah, he brings it. That's what we're doing yesterday on Shabbos. We did Reish Peches. Yeah.
So is this a Tavis Cholam? Could it have been like an alternative to getting 10 people together to be
Matir Kherim? Yeah, correct. Yeah, nowadays we don't have
Bilir
Kherim. So yeah, okay. Nowadays I have a dream like that, they would do this, they would do Hatavas Chalom.
And in the Sif Beis, it's almost like Remez the Chanukah, because Yosef is the Baal Chalamos.
Oh.
He's like Eish L'Na'oris by Esav.
Oh.
Esav is like the bad dream. He's like the...
You're a Darshan. Ooh-ah. You're good, very good.
It's firing me.
All right. You mean Chanukah connections. They're excellent.
Can we say some expression, Shalom? Shalom, shalom, shalom. There's an expression that we say when someone tells you, I had a dream. You ever heard this?
Dr. Martin Luther King?
No. My wife tells me to say this whenever she tells me I had a dream and I'm supposed to respond. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
That sounds a little like the Hebrew of the Aramaic. Chalma, in Aramaic, if you have a word that ends in Aleph, you cut off the Aleph, it becomes the Hebrew. So Chalma becomes Chalom, right? Tavo becomes Tov. So Chalom, you had a good dream. Lechor, you can do this in English, I guess. I don't know. I don't see any reason why not. It's, if that's the language you're interpreting in.
What's the English translation of
Tava? Tava is Tov. Tov. And then Chazoi means to see. So you saw a good dream. That's what it means. You saw a good dream. Hatavas, to make it green. Hatav, to make it Tov. To give it good. And they give a fancy English, amelioration of a dream. I don't know. It's too many syllables for me. It makes it good. Makes it good. Good is a good word to use. Good. Okay. Now, do you have to do this? Beautify. Do you have to do this? So the Rashba writes in the last source over here, right? Shut Rashba, Chelakav, Simen Kuf, Lamed Beis. Le'inyin chol cholim chalom shesha'al that you asked. Im yoch liftor asma b'hatava. Can you just do this whole dream amelioration sequence? Im tzarech l'sal. You have to fast. Dol yishno says the Rashba. Shlo chayvu b'shum makom. There's no chiv whatsoever. Lizanos al chalomos. You don't have to fast over this. Elish amr shatainis yofil l'cholom ke'ish ben oris. Okay, v'hetiru, they allowed you, this anos alav, afilu b'shabbos. They allowed you. Aval chayvo tainis lo amru. You're not chayv to do this. You do not have to fast if you had this. They allow you, and we pointed out yesterday that if you do fast on Shabbos, well, now you have to fast on the day on Sunday, because you fasted on Shabbos. You're not supposed to fast on Shabbos. You took away your oneg. So you point out a few exceptions that if it is an oneg for you to fast, that's one thing. We had a Chanukah connection over there. The Ramah brings in Reish Peches. If Sunday would come to be Chanukah, then you're not supposed to fast on Chanukah. We don't fast on Chanukah. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, You could, but I don't think people do this. The Mishnah Berurah brings, when you are fasting, though, it's not just I'm not going to eat. You spend the day learning and saying vidui, and you can even do that on Shabbos. You could confess, you know, what aveiros a person has. So that's interesting. The last thing I found on this blog was just the idea about it. It brings the source for saying it during the Ribono Shel Olam, during Birkas Kohanim. So I'm lucky. I get Birkat Kohanim Monday through Friday, right in the Sephardic Minyan. But for the rest of us who are not yet Sephardi, we have it on Yantif, right? So on the Shalosh Regalim, so we have Birkas Kohanim, and many had the minhag of reciting the Ribono Shel Olam at that point in time. It's only supposed to be said if a person actually had a bad dream. So sometimes we have Yom Tov Sheni. So a person, unless they had a bad dream between the first night and the second night of Yom Tov, you won't need to say it on the second day of Yom Tov, right? It's just if you had Ribono Shel Olam, Ani Chalach B'Shalom Chalom
Shalom Chalom Divin Yedeya. It covers the whole space between the times you say it.
Yeah, right. It covers. It's like a catch-all. Covers all of them since the last.
Let's say you don't know that.
You don't remember your dream from
the beginning. You don't remember
your dream, so you might have. I don't know. There's no harm in saying it, but it doesn't need to be said consecutively back to back unless the person actually had a.
So here's an answer to have a second day davening quicker than the first.
The Kohanim won't sing such a long thing. Okay, so I think what's that?
It says only one color.
And
you said you
had to do it in 3 feet. No, this is different. This is not Hatav. This is not Hatavas Chalom. This is just the Ribono Shel Olam that said. It's based upon the Gemara has an expression. It's just coming up these parshios with Yosef. You know, Yosef was walking in Mitzrayim, so he didn't look. He didn't look what he wasn't supposed to look at. So the Gemara says a person goes to a town and feels like there's an Ayin Hara coming to him. They should do a gesture like this, where you interlock your thumbs like this, and you say, Ana Mizara de Yosef Kasina. I am a descendant of Yosef. Really? You know you're a descendant from Yosef? Maybe from Zvulun? How do you know? No, it means I'm acting like Yosef. This gesture, if you look the way your thumbs are interlocked, means I'm not outside of myself. Everything is self-contained. I'm not looking, you know, out of the world. And so that's what a person could say, that that's where the source comes from, for the Ribono Shel Olam, the idea about not looking where one shouldn't, not trying to extend themselves outside of their own boundaries. But I think Lamaise, you do see that there certainly is a significance to dreams. Different interpretations and machlokes, even in the Tanoim, as to how much significance we put to them. There is a history of people asking shilas through dreams, and then not necessarily only as a result of the dream, but to cause them to rethink the sugya and then to come to a different analysis in the end. And it's a person could, if it really bothers them, they could even fast for that. They don't have to. The Chazon Ish writes, we don't do this nowadays. But if a person really, really is upset about it, then there is but it's brought down. Again, the fasting is not just by itself. The fasting is in conjunction with davening and with learning. Okay. Shkoyach, everybody.
Yeah, okay.